I want to start off, actually, before we're going to pray, I do want to say two things. One, the worship team, thank you for choosing your, I don't know how you decided or someone prayed, or but the Holy Spirit really led you as you chose the songs. I'm going to try to say this without. Two and a half years ago, I came onto campus for the very first time. I had been a missionary for many years, working in anti-trafficking in Southern Asia as well as in France, and had this, someone sent me a letter or an email and asked me if I'd be considered to be a professor here, and I at first thought, said no, and then I said, well, okay, no, I actually should pray about it, and so prayed about it, came on campus, but before I came on campus, this song I had heard, Build My Life, that summer a ton, and I just had that song, and I just kept playing it the entire time. Like, I would drive to campus and play it, and I would just say, like, Lord, I submit everything. I submit this whole thing to you, and I just kept, and so after I called, Dr. Ziefel, the dean, and said yes, and then I called my area director, because he's a missionary, and said, hey, here's what's happening. I got off the phone, and then I put the song on, and I just sang it at the top of my lungs. I will build, it's scary, I don't have family here, I don't have, you know, but God just told me to be here and be with students and to connect with you, and I am so honored, and I wanted to say one more confirmation or one more thing. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I think that when we were singing that song, or as for those of you who are visiting right now, I think that there were people maybe, if there's someone that was kind of like, is this where, God, you want me to build the next part of my life? I just want to confirm that. And it's also for any parent that's like, man, I really want my kid to choose the place that's a little closer or something like that. Like, if you felt something or if you thought something, if something came in your heart, like, well, actually, I just really want them to follow whatever the Spirit is saying. I just want to confirm that. As we talk today about the Holy Spirit who produces fruit, so let's start off, of course, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for this day, for this time that you've appointed. I want to say thank you for the honor and privilege to share your word. And I just ask that you, Holy Spirit, would lead me. You would also, you would just speak to all of our hearts and lead all of us in your precious name. Amen. So today, if you want to turn in your Bibles or get on your phone and look at Galatians 5:16-26, that's what we're going to be talking about. I won't read it quite yet. We're talking about this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know how many of you, like me, when you were a kid, some of you, not all of you were raised in church, but if you were raised in church, you had this moment in kids' church or Sunday school, and you were like coloring bananas and grapes and oranges, right? And they were like patience, and you're like, why is patience a grape? And why is, you know, like, and you just really, it was like kind of making sense, but not really. And like, I actually typically tend to teach kids' church, and so I will say this, like, kid, you know, let's have grace on Sunday school teachers because they can't give you the context of the verses. They can't really talk about, you know, explain circumcision and all of the things that are happening in Galatians. And so we're just going to give them grace. The other thing is when these verses are also talking about, like, being led by the Spirit. And I don't know about you, if you've had this, I grew up in the Assemblies of God, so Pentecostal, kind of like people like to talk about the Spirit, and we believe, and so there have been really great examples, but there were also every once in a while, those examples of like, you know, there's like one chocolate cookie left, and then someone's like, the Holy Spirit told me to take the last one, you know, and you're like, what? And they're like, how did the Holy Spirit tell you to be like a little bit selfish? Because I kind of think, well, we'll look at these verses, but there's kind of like but anyway, so there's people that kind of overuse this idea of being led by the Spirit. And then the last thing I would say when I think about the fruit of the Spirit is that sometimes we use the fruit of the Spirit as sort of like an insult. And here's what I mean. You're like, or someone's like, you're dating Greg? Like, I don't know if he's a Christian. I mean, where's the fruit? Right? Where's the fruit? And look, I don't have a problem with being in relationship with people and holding them accountable and challenging them. But I'm talking about when we decide to use it sort of like as a proof that someone especially to someone that we're not in relationship, that's kind of in another space. Like, it's kind of a shame. Like, oh, you're not loving. You're not patient. You don't have kindness and goodness. You know what? We'll talk about this, but all these things, like, I don't always do all of these things either. Okay, and so I'm gonna try to kind of correct that just a little bit as we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. I will give you the background, since we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been kind of jumping around. So just in case, I want to give you context that your Sunday school teacher didn't give you. So Paul is writing to the Galatians, maybe not necessarily the ethnic Galatians, but the people from that area. And this is probably, if you know how the books of the Bible work within the book of Acts, this is probably before Acts 15. We don't really know, but it's probably because it would have been easy enough for Paul to be like, hey, remember, we already had a council, we already talked about this, okay? But since he doesn't, there's a possibility that it's before that time. But what Paul had already done is, you know, he was a missionary. I just want to warn you again that I never, ever can preach without talking about mission, so it's going to come up at some point. But Paul is a missionary, and so Paul goes and he tells people about Jesus, as the hard work of planting in an unreached place, a place where people don't know about Christ, to Gentiles, and there's a group of people, now there's a group of believers, and they're doing good. And then come the Judean missionaries. And the Judean missionaries come through and are saying, like, hey, you're doing this wrong. I mean, you're Gentiles and you're following Christ, cool, but you need to be circumcised and you need to follow specific laws. And to be fair to this group of people, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, circumcision was a big deal, okay? There's this really weird story. Well, it seems kind of weird, sort of random. But in Exodus chapter 4, 24, there's this moment where God, it's like, God was going to kill Moses. And then his wife Zipporah's like, oh! And she like goes and quickly circumcises their son, and then God leaves him alone. And that text, that kind of like strong sign and symbol, an external symbol of the covenant, was so important to the Jews that we can't completely blame them for wanting to like bring it over to the Gentiles. What Paul is trying to say, probably Paul believes that the Gentiles can join the people of God without circumcision and without these specific like food laws and that type of thing, because he's saying that the law of Moses, including circumcision, was always an outward symbol and pointed to the law of love. But again, the Judean missionaries are pushing legalism, striving, doing things on your own, aside from the Spirit. And we'll talk about what that means exactly. And also, we can see in this text that there's these other influences, and I'll try to explain that. But there's these people are Gentiles. They've been saved out of a pagan understanding. And there's also philosophers of the time, right? And they're speaking into their life. And so some of the philosophers of the time are saying things like, if you can control, like the Stoics are saying, you can control unwanted passions with your mind, with sheer willpower, you can control it. Also, the pagans, when we get to the part where it talks about like the drunkenness and the orgies and all that stuff, that's Paul alluding to the former idolatry and the past, with the culture that they've come out of, okay? And so these things are all happening, and this is what Paul is addressing when he's talking about being led by the Spirit. So verse 16, we're going to read verse 16 through 18 first. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. Okay, so what does this mean? So first of all, just in case some of you, if you talk about this in my culture anthropology class, we use words sometimes, and we've used them so long that sometimes we forget that not everybody knows those words. So flesh, we're not talking about like our body. There's a symbolism space here of flesh, and it's being used oftentimes in biblical terms for a moral weakness or susceptibility to sin. And so Paul's calling the reader to choose. He's saying, listen, in the end, you have two choices. One is to walk or to rely on the Spirit, and the other is to rely on yourself and the law and think you can do it on your own. And by the way, you're gonna fail. If you choose the law and yourself, you'll fail. You're not gonna do what you wanna do. And so in verse, the Judean missionaries were trying to get them to return, right, to the law. And so Paul says in verse 17, you aren't going to do what you want to do if you rely solely on the law. It doesn't work that way. The new age has come, and the Spirit is here to show us how to be and who to be. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I want you to hear something really quickly. You're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It does not mean the Holy Spirit can tell me to do whatever I want to do. And now I don't have to be kind. I don't have to, obviously, because we're going to go on in these verses. But I don't have to do, I can do whatever I want. No, what he's saying, again, is it's not a free pass to do whatever. It actually means if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer a slave to the law. You're not under the oppression or under this like this feeling of I must train my own mind. I must do it myself. I want to say, again, as somebody who's lived in different cultures, we have trained our society, our culture, really, we really value autonomy. We value doing things ourselves. Okay? I'm just telling you what the verses mean. Yeah, I'm not going to get to application. Stop. Okay. All right. If you are under the law, again, Paul is saying, if you're under the law, you're going to mess up. You're not going to make it. It's not going to work. Verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you that these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't choose what is right. Okay, so I'm going to, there's a couple things happening all at once again. And one of the things that Paul is doing is he's bringing in some of the things that are on this list they would have known already is like he's speaking specifically to their pagan, their previous life, their former life. So you think things like moral impurity, sexual immorality, the drunkenness, the carousing, some translations say orgies, all of that had to do with this idolatry, this paganism that they had come out of. And he's putting that in the same space as jealousy, strife, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, which is what he can see that the Judaizers or the Judean missionaries actually the fruit of trying to do it yourself. Trying to follow the law yourself. He's putting those two together, saying, basically, if you aren't led by the Spirit, you're gonna be kind of the same as if you were before when you were pagan. Just a different thing. They're all kind of clumped together. This is what it looks like to not be led. The people that put themselves back under the law when the Spirit is available are at the same place as the people that just don't even know that are fully following idolatry. So the philosophers of the time believed that they didn't need the law or the Spirit and that the wise minds could simply choose what's right. So that's something that they would, a thought or in their culture that would have made them, would have been around. We can see in the list of groups of vices that are connected to pagan rituals, like I said, and then there are other things connected to the Judaizer or the Judean understanding. Verse 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. No, those who belong to the Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. So the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are not the acts of the Spirit. Or they're not works in this text. They are the natural character or the reflection. They're the things that come that describe, right? They're not, it's not like the fruit of the Spirit are loving, doing, being patient. The fruit of the Spirit are the descriptors of what it is to follow. And really, all of these descriptors point to the character of God. These are descriptors for God, right? And also the fruit of the Spirit is collective. We have to remember, again, when we look at the biblical context, that we're talking about a collective society. So sure, peace, inner peace, peace with ourselves is an important thing, but peace in this context is also peace toward others, right? Love toward others, joy with among others. Okay, so there's a collectiveness to this understanding. And also, we can see these as a whole. It's not like a ranking system, right? You're not like, okay, self-control, I can't stop eating sugar, so I'm going to give myself a 1 on that, but I'm really, really kind, right? Like, it's not a rating. It's all of these are together. All of them come together as a whole in the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not, one more thing I want to say is it's not assumed that one is virtuous in every aspect or wicked in every aspect. So one of the styles of writing that happens in this text is that, we also see this in Proverbs where they'll be like the wise and the foolish. It's not like the wise are like always wise. Like they're trying to say like there's always wise people and these people that are always foolish, right? Like you can, it's not meant to mean like, okay, if you are led by the Spirit, you're always going to have all of these fruit of the Spirit, and it's always going to be perfect. And if you're not, you're the other way around. Or it doesn't mean that if you're walking in the flesh that not every once in a while you're not going to have love or patience or some types of things, okay? But what it rather that you're relying on the Spirit is that happens, and that it happens that it will, that as you're relying on the Spirit, you are being transformed to reflect God in the end, right? The image of God, being image bearers. All right, so that is the context, and I'm not done. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean today in 2022? What does that mean for us? So the first point, I'm going to just lay it out for you for a second here. I believe today, here in our moment in time in the United States, we have three sort of philosophies or three sort of kind of influences that are kind of will push us away from being led by the Spirit. Okay? I believe that we have an influence to try to want to follow the Bible, but we try to do it on our own and in our own strength. That's one thing. That's one way that we get away from being led by the Spirit. The second one is I believe we kind of want to be like the Stoic. We want to say like, hey, humanity, I would call it kind of like a humanitarianism. Humanity will help humanity. Humanity will save humanity. And like, it's sort of a mind philosophy. And then a third one, because these are two different ones that kind of come together. This is a logic thing. Or what the philosophers would say in Paul's context, right? It was like everybody can choose what's right and wrong, right? Everyone has able. So what does that look like here? Everyone, I have a truth and you have a truth, right? Moral relativism, right? We all can make our own truths. And so that's another influence, or that's another thing that kind of gets into our space. And then the last one is a kind of a pagan idolatry, but not pagan, idolatry in general, okay? And so we'll talk about this. But the first thing is, let's not be Judaizers. Let's not be like the Judeans, okay? You cannot earn your way into the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot work yourself into better patience. You cannot make checklists and just say, I'm gonna will myself to have more love. I'm just gonna will myself to have more patience. I'm gonna make sure that I'm not moving in selfish ambition, and it's all me. That should be good news. I don't know about you, but that's really good news for me because I can't do it. And so the solution is, to the flesh is not fighting the flesh, but welcoming the Spirit. Does that make sense? It's a welcoming of the Spirit in our space. And here's what I mean by that. Like, so if I'm, as a professor, I'm looking at my colleague and I'm jealous, or I'm being ambitious and selfishly pushing myself above that colleague, that is an indicator that I have not welcomed the Spirit into my work. I have not welcomed the Spirit into the space of my of that space of my life. And I need to welcome the Holy Spirit. And then my decisions, the way I act, how I act is not about whether or not people think I'm the smartest, whether or not my students like me, whether or not it's my decision-making is what is the Spirit saying to me? How is the Spirit leading me? I'm telling you, just think for 1 second. Be overseas and help women in prostitution. Be here. If I was trying to do what people thought would sounded cooler, where would I be right now? Right? But being led by the Spirit means I welcome the Spirit into every space. And those, and as I do that, he directs me and he guides me and he leads me. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. When, not if, you're dealing with jealousy, selfish ambition, bursts of anger, that is not a sign that you are a bad person and need to try harder. Rather, again, a sign that you need the Spirit inside your life. If you read these texts, if you read the fruit of the Spirit and you're like, I'm pretty good, that's probably a sign you need to be led by the Spirit, because what that's doing is that when he's saying this part about that last part, what Paul is talking about is when people, that if I have a list, if I do these five things, that means I'm patient. Then it means that I'm also going to measure all of my friends and all the people around me, and I'm gonna put division between us. So let's stop using the fruit as a way to put down people's walks and realize instead, if we need to challenge our friend, we need to say, hey, have you invited the Spirit in that space? You're frustrated with this person. You're not living at peace with somebody that you disagree with. Have you invited the Spirit into that conversation, into that relationship? Don't be a philosopher. This next part, I really feel like this is a huge, huge motivation. This is something we tend toward because our culture wants us to. My logic or my mind will save me. Just a slight difference than the Judaizer, because you aren't building your life on biblical do's and don'ts, but instead of walking by the biblical law or by the Spirit, you're walking in humanism. You believe that ultimately people are good and humanity will save humanity. The best thing I can do for the world is to use my mind to save humanity. No, the best thing you can do for the world is to walk in this Spirit and reflect Christ's character and the fruit of the Spirit. Do you agree with me? I mean, and this is, again, somebody who spent a big portion of her life helping women, and not only spiritually, helping women in, get out of prostitution. But the best thing I could do is allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be reflected so that also the people that I'm connecting with and interacting with would also find Christ. That's the best thing, hands down, the best thing I can do. And others of us feel like we can figure out what's right or wrong on our own. I have my truth. You have your truth, and we all have the capacity to figure out truth and right and wrong. And I know that that is tempting. But in the end, it doesn't work. In the end, we must be led by the Spirit. Last part, it says, my last point on this is, we can't be like the pagan. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the immorality and the drunkenness and all those other things. I think you guys all know those things, but I'm talking about the idolatry. So in the United States, and I'm pretty hard on the United States, and I'm gonna just explain why. Because I've lived so long outside of it, when you come back, you're like, oh, okay, that's different. And so, but here's the deal. We have an idolatry of success, money, fame, and consumerism. At least those four things. And if you are led by fame, success, consumerism, money, you're not being led by the Spirit. And I'm telling you, it is a beautiful walk. It is much easier to be led by the Spirit. And that is the good life. And that is what it means to follow Christ, to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by those other things. Live and walk by the Spirit, and then we will produce fruit. And what does that mean? This collective fruit, this love, this patience toward others, gentleness toward others, kindness toward others. If you are like Professor Russo, you were not gentle with me when I was late with that paper, I'm sorry. I'll try harder. But seriously, this connectedness, and why? And here's the warning. Why? So we feel good about ourselves, so we can talk about how we're better. We can have envy. We can put ourselves in other categories. We're better. We have more fruit, so I'm a better Christian than that other person. No. The whole point of that reflection of Christ is for the nations, is for the world, is for your neighbor, is for your cousin, is for the people around, so that we are reflecting Christ. And as we reflect Christ, we draw people to him. That's what it looks like to be led by the Holy Spirit, to walk in the ways of the Spirit and to be characterized by his fruit. And again, it is not about a condemnation. It is not about, hey, I'm not patient enough, so I guess I'm not doing. No, it's about recognizing that and allowing the Spirit to come in and transform us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for every student here. I just pray right now, as we think about our lives, as we think about the future, as we think about the decisions we're making, as we think about the frustrations we have, if we look at that list of vices and we see some parts of it that like maybe feel a little too close to us, or we look at the list of fruit and we're like, I'm sure I'm not really doing that, Lord, I just ask that you would, Holy Spirit, today and even now, that you would just speak to us about places in our lives where we need to invite you in and be led by you. I also pray, Lord, that you would show us places where we've allowed other philosophies, other thoughts, things that aren't of you, other ideas to lead us instead of you. And we just submit that to you today, and we ask that you would go with us as we go about our day. In your precious name, amen.